I'd like to write the title this morning on the board. The title of the message today is Keys to Peace. You know, I am thankful today that we still serve a God who is in control. The Lord is still working. The Lord's not nervous this morning. God is not on His throne uneasy. He's not disturbed. He's not in a place where He's unsure of what He needs to do next. That's the way we feel a lot of times. Because we live in a very uncertain world. We live in a world where people are uneasy. People aren't sure what to do. People don't have the understanding on how to go forward. We look around us today and we shake our heads and we wonder what's next. But God is not on His throne wringing His hands, concerned about what He's going to do next. He is a God that is still in control. He's still alive. He's still working. And He is still looking out across the earth. And He is seeing those that are His children, and He is working on our behalf, thank the Lord. And I appreciate that. We live in a time, however, where there is an absence of peace. The absence of peace abounds all around us. The absence of physical peace, temporal peace, and spiritual peace. It seems like we live in a time when there's so much available, and yet there is such little peace. And yet, that is exactly why Jesus came. Jesus came to bring us peace. Not just a short-term, one-time experience of peace. You know, where we go down and we find the Lord and we can look back and remember the peace that we felt, and I hope we can, when we have our sins forgiven, wonderful load that's taken off our shoulders, and we experience peace. But the Lord came to bring sustainable peace. He came to bring us a peace that would prevail during the time of hardship and uncertainty. During the times that of our great need, the Lord came to bring peace. And we can have a head knowledge of that, but I've lived long enough to know that sometimes our world can be and will be rocked like we never, ever anticipated. Trouble in our own lives, whereas maybe in the past it was always somebody else that had the biggest trouble. There's always somebody else that faced the hardest thing, and that wasn't ever going to happen to you. But you live long enough, sometimes it hits some earlier rather than later, and we face hardship in life. It's a reality of life, and it does not mean that the Lord has left you. It's life. Hard things, things that rock you to your core. We serve a God today who is the God of the greatest storms that we will ever face in life. And He invites us to come to Him and to allow Him to hold our hands and carry us through those times. He came to bring us spiritual soul peace. And you know, I found that when we find and we experience spiritual peace and soul peace, it also brings measures of physical and temporal peace too. When you are at peace with God, when you are at peace in your soul, it has a way of expanding out and covering all the other areas of your life. Does that mean that everything else just turns out perfect and you don't have any more temporal trouble? No more physical problems to deal with. No, that's not what it means. But what it does mean is that when we become at peace with God, and we find peace in our hearts, spiritual peace, it is a peace that begins to touch all other areas of our life. And sadly, I feel like this morning that there is not the peace present that the Lord desires to be present. And I'm not just speaking of those that have not found Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But I feel like today, and I've been one of them, where peace of the Christian is not where God would like it to be. We sometimes live below what God has for us. We are hungry for something that is sitting at the table. It's on the table that we are sitting at. God's table. And He has made provision. And there is a big pot of peace that is on the table that for some reason we have not dished out of in measures that the Lord would like us to dish out of, even as Christians who are sitting at the table that was made for us by the blood of Jesus. And I believe that the Scriptures give us instruction on how better to find peace. Peace for the Christian. Not just peace of the one that is without Jesus Christ, but peace that the Lord wants we as Christians to find. And so this morning I'd like to share an exhortation that Paul shared, not with unbelievers, but with believers in Philippi. And I'd like to look at the fourth chapter of Philippians. It's a passage of Scripture that we have looked at some in the past. And he summarizes some keys to what I'll term this morning sustainable peace. If you want more than a momentary or short-term peace in your life, I'd like to read to you this morning and share the exhortation that Paul gave as keys to sustainable peace in life for the believer. I'd like to pick up verse 4 and 5 maybe as a preface before we get into the meat of it, because I think they have some value here in this lesson. He said, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Is there ever a time where we maybe should reach the end of rejoicing in the Lord, do you think? Is there ever a time where we say, you know what, I think I've reached the end of where I ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. There's these other things going on here. I'm going to have to set the rejoicing in the Lord to the side for now. Is there ever a time we reach that? No. I don't believe there is. And yet I know that hardship and difficulty and challenges of life can come our way and get in the way of our rejoicing. The enemy can do that to us. Insert things in the middle where it causes us to detour from rejoicing in the Lord. But rejoicing in the Lord brings us perspective. Rejoicing in the Lord reminds us of the Lord. It reminds us of His presence, of His power, of His strength, of His care. "Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." While rejoicing in the Lord this morning, folks, be a light to the world around you. This really is the essence of this verse. Let your moderation be known. The word moderation in this sense seems to be speaking to us of reflecting and letting our light shine of Jesus Christ as a whole. Be ready to forgive. Be gentle. Control your passions. Live in a state where the absence of strife exists. Show Christ to other people. The Lord is at hand. That's what the scripture said. He capped off that verse. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Let the light of Jesus Christ shine through your life to all those that are around. Who? You. Why? The Lord is at hand. It's our time. It's your time. We are not expected to be spectators during this time of 2022. We're alive. God's given us life. He's given us opportunity. It's your time to show the world Jesus Christ. And we will stand before God. We're going to give an account for our lives. We're going to give an account to a God that is taking note of how we are redeeming the time. So, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Don't ever lose sight of the importance of rejoicing in the Lord. And while you're doing it, let your light shine to the world, recognizing the Lord is at hand. Okay? Now he starts the sixth verse and he says, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Huh? What? Be anxious for nothing. That wakes me up. Have you reached that state where nothing causes you anxiety anymore in life? That's what this says. Be anxious for nothing. Yet this subject is touched on in more than one place. Jesus said in the 6th chapter of Matthew in the 25th verse, he said, take no thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you'll drink, or for your body, what you'll put on, your clothes. He said, take no thought for your life. Well, prudent care and responsibility and being good managers and good stewards of your life, what you eat and what you put on, what you drink, and providing for yourself and your family has never been forbidden in the Bible. But the scriptures do teach that in this case, in Philippians and in Matthew, that the Lord does not want us to allow the cares of life to get in between our peace with God. Be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. But Paul didn't just stop there and say, okay, from now on, y'all be anxious for nothing. Go and conquer. That's the end of the message. No, it says, be careful for nothing, but. So now he has something to replace our anxiety with. So what the scripture is trying to get across to us is, alright, these areas where you feel an absence of peace, and I know because I'm human, and I know because you're human, that you feel places like this in your life. Where you come across times where it feels like there's a force and a spirit that comes in to remove whatever peace you had and allow it to give way to the absence of peace and to anxiety. And so what Paul is saying is, don't allow yourself to be anxious for anything, but. Okay, so now let's remove the anxiety. Let's set aside the absence of peace, but now we've created space. Because we've taken the anxiety. We're setting it over here. So we scoop out the anxiety. We take out the absence of peace and all things that cause that, and we set those over here. But now we have some space. Now what are we going to fill the space with? And so Paul now begins to outline some key things to help us get a hold of sustainable, ongoing peace. And the first thing he said was, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So, in all matters of life, the first thing was to bring requests before God. In all matters of life, did you know that the Lord would like us to bring our lives to Him before we get in trouble, not just after? Have you ever found yourself, it seems like that when you come to the Lord with this whole list of things, a lot of these lists of things is places where trouble already exists. And He wants us to bring that before Him. But I believe that God would also like us to come before Him with requests of, Lord, I have this decision to make. I'm not sure whether to turn right or left. Not in trouble yet, but Lord, would you give me guidance? Would you give me help? Lord, I'm getting ready to face this situation. Maybe I'm not really worried about it, but Lord, would you give me help? Help me to know what to say. Help me to know what not to say. Lead me, Lord. Bring all things regarding your life to the Lord. He's your friend. He's your best friend. Have a relationship with Him. Lord, this is what's going on in my life today. Lord, I'm getting ready to go to such and such place. Would you go with us? Lord, help us if we need to be detoured. Help us to submit to the detour. And when we do have problems, Lord, here they are. And we find that this begins to help the peace that we have when we bring all things regarding our lives to the One who is above all. And then we know that inside. I brought it to God, the One who is above all things and who is all powerful. Bring requests before God. But then Paul threw in something else. How do we bring our requests before God? With thanksgiving. The Lord wants a people that are thankful. And not only a people that are thankful quietly, but are deliberately thankful. Express thanksgiving. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, they know I care. I don't have to tell them. They know I care. They know I'm thankful. They know I love them. Have you told them? Have you said I love you? Have we told the Lord how thankful we are for what He does for us? These things are what is beginning to fill the bowl that has been emptied of our absence of peace and our anxiety. Paul said, be careful for nothing, but bring your requests before God, number one. Number two, do it with thanksgiving. And don't just do this once a week. Every day in your communion with the Lord, develop a relationship with the Lord where you're bringing your life before the Lord. Lord, this is what my life looks like today. Maybe you're really happy with it. Lord, I'm really happy with my life today. Here it is, Lord. Would you continue to lead and guide me? Lord, I'm not happy with my life today. Or there's some good things and there's some bad things. And in the midst of it, and by the way, Lord, thank you so much for what you've done for me over here. Make it specific. Instead of just saying, thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of life, make it specific. Lord, thank you for yesterday when I was talking with so-and-so, you gave me a peace that I didn't think I was going to have. Thank you, Lord, for that wonderful meal that was prepared for me that was especially good. Thank you, Lord, for helping me to pay this bill. Thank you, Lord, for, Lord, I failed you and I did X, Y, and Z, and I should not have done that, Lord, You're bringing all elements of life to Him. You shouldn't have done that, but You forgave me, Lord. And I just want to let You know how appreciative I am that You did this for me. Do not underestimate the power of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not only for God, but it's for you too. And so Paul said, bring your request before God. Do it with thanksgiving. And what's the next one? Well, let's not skip verse 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, if you'll allow me, to me it's like Paul isn't done yet talking about how we're going to get the keys to peace. He's only kind of halfway, but he's reminding us that if we'll bring our requests before God, all elements of our life before God, and we do it with thanksgiving, and we're involving God with all elements of our life, the only way we can get true peace is from God. That's the only way we're going to get real peace. There is elements of peace. There are types of peace. There's peace that comes from silence. I have a picture of Mount Hood that I've had in my office for years. And at the very bottom it says, silence bears the fruit of peace. And it does. Silence can bear the fruit of peace. But the only way that we are going to experience soul peace, the kind of peace where you can lay down on your pillow at night and be at peace with God and with man, it's only going to come from God and knowing that you are at peace with God. The peace that passes all understanding does not come from men with man understanding. It comes from somebody who is beyond our understanding. It's God. And to have a peace that passes all understanding, that goes beyond what you could figure out on your own, you're going to have to do items 1 and 2. You have to include God in your life each day. With your requests, with your life, with here's what's going on, and with thanksgiving. Don't fail to be thankful. Specifically express it. So Paul inserted that in verse 7. And then he moves to verse 8. And he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things... And now he lists a whole lot of things that we should allow our minds to reflect on. Were they discouraging things? Are they bad things? Are they things that we're really not sure about? We're just kind of assuming that it might be that? Are they things of just our imagination? No. He begins to list a number of things that are present and things rooted in truth. Things that are true, honest, pure, just, lovely, of good report. Boy, there's a lot of bad reports out there today. That's about all there is that's out there today, is bad reports. You turn on the radio, go online, it's all the bad things that are happening. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Finally, brethren, you're doing these things, and now think on good things. And I'm going to add this word, present things. This is not about closing our eyes and meditating that we are on an island somewhere and everything is perfect. And I'm not discounting ways to become silent and shut our minds down from all the activities. That's good and it's useful. But what I'm talking about is not acting like reality doesn't exist. Because God didn't say that. God didn't say ignore the reality of life. But the scriptures do say, think about things that are true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report, and if there's any virtue and if there's any praise, think about those things. Let your mind reflect on the good things of the Word, the promises of the Word, the promises of the truth, the things that are honest. Think about things that are of good report. Folks, we need to give more good reports to each other about things so that we can all have things that are of good report to think about instead of it so often, hey, did you hear about this? Hey, did you know this? We do that. That's life. And there are negative things. But how about we try to balance it out a little bit and give some things of good report too. And think about those things. The Bible's full of them. We live around things that are of good report all the time. We have real blessings that God has given to us. They're all around us all the time. Think about them. Think about things that are honest. Think about things that are pure. Think about things that are lovely. Be disciplined in your thinking. An undisciplined mind is a dangerous mind. If you just want to let your imagination go, just sit back and just let it run. It's a dangerous thing. Be disciplined. When you begin to recognize that your mind is always running on all the things that aren't pure and they're not a good report and there's not a lot of virtue and it's not very honest over here what's going on, and it, stop yourself. If you want peace, think on good things, not imaginary things, but present things that are around us that are good. Does that mean that God wants us to ignore and just turn a blind eye to all the things of life that are not pleasant? No. And do we have, is that real life, that we have difficult places in life? Yes. And I just, for whatever comfort it may bring, I want to let you know that most of the time you're not the only one that has a corner on rough places in life. Life brings rough patches for everybody. And just because you don't know the rough patch that somebody else is in doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Sometimes we know, oftentimes we don't know what is going on in other people's lives. That's why we need to be kind and merciful and encouraging, because sometimes you're facing a smiling face that you think they're on top of the world and they never have any trouble and they're always, everything is good. They need your encouragement because they may be going through a really rough patch. God's not saying that we ignore the realities of life, but He says to take those things to a God that can work with those things. And God often works for the long-term results and consequences, not just the short-term. And we as people, we want to see the change happen right now. We want to see the bad turn to good today, because this is bad and we need to replace it with good. And yet, sometimes God takes long time to work with people, because it takes people a long time. People are at different places. God has to work with people in ways that we don't understand, and it can cause rough patches to exist for a long time. And if we're not careful, we lose our peace because we don't see that bad turn to good today, or this afternoon, or by morning. The Lord said, why don't you bring it to me? And did you know that I care about your children more than you care about your children? Did you know that I care about your family more than you care about your family? Did you know that I care about you and I love you more than you even understand what love is? That's God. And He wants us to rest in that. When we bring our request and our needs and our children and our family and our situations in life, our job situations and our relational, those are usually the hardest ones, is those relational ones.
We bring it to a God who loves us, who is above all, who cares. And he says, bring it to me. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I want to help you with this. And leave it with him. And be thankful to him. And then turn your minds to good things.
Okay, and then lastly, in the ninth verse, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do them. And the God of peace shall be with you.
So let's write number four down. Three items. Follow the Word of God. That's really what Paul is saying. He's saying, those things that you've learned of me of the Word, I've taught you the Word of God. The example that I have set that is intended to be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Do those things. When you get down to this place and you've done these things, continue to do what you know to do is right. Are there going to be places in life where we don't know the answer? Yes. Are there things in the Scriptures that we don't understand? Yes. Are there situations in life that we look at and we say, I don't know how God could possibly be in that? Yes. And you know, sometimes people allow those things to cause them to stop doing and following after the things that they do know is right. The Lord doesn't ask us to understand things that we don't understand until He gives us light for it. Yes, apply yourself to understand more, but He's not asking us to be something we're not today, except in His timing, in His way, through His grace, through His help. But if you do know to do good, don't stop doing it. Keep doing it. Folks, there are times in life where we can start to get discouraged in our Christian experience. Follow me on this now. And there is a temptation to begin to back off a little bit on those things that we do know. We know it's right to do. But we can let discouragement come in sometimes, and we can stop doing the very things we know to do is right. Do you want peace today? Do you want sustainable peace? Do you want to be able to replace some of that anxiety that you feel? God wants that. And He comes and He, through His Scripture, has outlined to us some keys to sustainable peace. And you can't leave out any one of these. Sometimes we can say, well, I've been bringing my request before God just like the Scripture says, just like the preacher said, every day I've been doing this and I'm focusing on this, but I don't have peace. Have you been thankful? Have you been expressing thanksgiving? Well, no, probably not like I should. Well, why would you think you're going to have peace if you're dwelling on all kinds of things that aren't good and you're not acting thankful? You've got to do more than just keep pouring out all this stuff. It's always never our responsibility to be thankful or do what we know is right. It's like a combination lock. You know, you have to put the dials, each of the numbers in the right place. You can't do three of the four and then fill it and then the lock's going to come open. If we live our lives never being thankful, you can do everything that you know to do is right with your head down. Well, I guess I got to do this. I mean, the Bible says, I guess that's what I'm going to do. That's what I have to do because I'm a Christian. And I'm going to bring all these things before God because that's what the Bible says to do. And we just plod along doing that. But in the meantime, we're not expressly being thankful. We're not thinking on good things. Why would we think that we are going to have peace in our hearts? Let's be disciplined Christians. We can't generate peace on our own by saying, I as a human being can achieve the peace that I need by doing steps 1 through 4, and it becomes something that I myself can create. This, steps 1 through 4, is following the Word of God. And when we do these things, we get a peace that goes beyond just the power of number one and number two and number three and number four. But it's being obedient to God all of a sudden. It's unmerited favor of Jesus Christ. Unmerited peace that God can send to us because of His righteousness, because of what He did, because of His works. And He bids us to come. That's our part. Our part this morning is that we would enter into the rest that we've talked about here before many times. That we enter into the rest of God that He has already prepared for us. It is a peace that He has already made available for us. It's a peace that He has in abundant supply on His table in a big bowl that is there for us to dish out of. What's our part? Create the peace? I can't create the peace. I'm looking for peace that passeth all understanding. I'm looking for the peace of God. And so the Lord says, if you want my peace, you can do it. It's within your grasp. Bring your request before me. Bring your life to me and leave it with me. Don't bring it to me and then take it back. Bring it before me, lay it down, and let me have it. Be thankful expressly with your lips, with your tongue. Say it out loud. Be specific. Itemize it. Remind yourself. Think on good things. Don't let the world get you in the place where it's always bad. Everything is bad. Think on good things. Let the space in your mind not be given, renting it out to all of the stuff that the world gives. Be disciplined about that. True, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. And in the meantime, while you're doing this, continue to do the things that you know is right. And if we will do that, Jesus said, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. It's going to happen. But be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. I give you peace that's not as the world gives. I have a peace that I want to give you that is from above. That is the peace that Jesus Christ brought to us. And He invites us to enter into His rest. This morning, let's be challenged. Bring your request before God. Be thankful. Think on good things that are present. They're not imaginative, not things that you're imagining, but they're good things that are present. And in the meantime, continue to do those things that you know is right. Try it. Follow it. See what happens. The Scripture said that we would have peace that passes all understanding. May God help each one of us, is my prayer this morning. Amen.